Hallelujah. Praise God. It's good to be in Saturday night church. Amen. Yeah. Hallelujah. I haven't had the opportunity to preach in Saturday night church for several weeks. I promise you, I haven't been saving up all the messages. I'm going to give you them all at once. But glory to God. Hallelujah. Father, in Jesus' name, we just thank you this evening for your presence in this place. We want to proclaim and declare in this place tonight that we are not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, because it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes. So, Father, we just ask that your word would come forth in the power of the Holy Spirit this evening, Lord, for salvation, for healing, for deliverance, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. How many of you have heard people say that there's many ways that lead to God? Have you ever heard that said? Maybe you said it yourself. Maybe you said it in your past. Maybe you still think that way. I want to tell you, the people that say that are right. There are many ways that lead to God. But Jesus said something else before you fall off your seat. In John 14, verse 6, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to God. No, he didn't say that. He said, no one comes to the Father except through me. You see, there might be many, many ways that lead to an image of God that religious men or devils have created. But there's only one way to the Father. There might be many ways to God with a little g. There's many gods out there. In fact, the Hindus alone have billions of gods. Jesus didn't say there's only one way to God. He said there's only one way to the Father. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. There's only one way to the Father. We are not here tonight to serve an image of God. We are here to have a relationship with the only true and living God as his children. Amen. With him as our Father and us as his children. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. The first thing I wanted to recognize tonight is that Jesus shows us the way to the Father. Jesus shows us the way to the Father. In John chapter 1, verse 12, it says, as many as received him, as received Jesus, to them he gave the right to become children of God. To those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Hallelujah. They were not born of blood, or of the will of the flesh, or of the will of man, but they were born of God. Jesus said, you must be born again. Why is that? Because you were born wrong the first time. You need to be born from above. It's not enough to be born naturally into this world. If man had not sinned, that would be sufficient. But because man sinned, because man fell out of relationship with God, it's essential that you're born again, that you're born from above. Who knows, the gospel can be offensive. The gospel can be offensive because it tells you that in your natural state, you're not good enough to meet God's standard of holiness. You're not good enough to meet God's standard of righteousness. And so you can't have a relationship with God as your heavenly Father because you're not good enough. That can be offensive. The gospel can be very offensive. But we are not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ because it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes. There was a group of Polish football supporters out there just about an hour and a half ago. They're a long way from Poland, but I want to tell you, they weren't ashamed of being Polish. They came marching down the narrows making such a racket, I thought I'd been translated outside Wembley Stadium. Or whatever football stadiums they have in Poland. some football stadium in Warsaw or somewhere. I'll tell you, what a racket they were making. Their faces all painted red and white. First of all, I thought they were English supporters, to be perfectly frank. But I thought, wow, they're brave. But anyway, but they turned out to be Polish. I just saw that they had a big flag with Polska, you know. So then I realized, oh, these are Polish kind of guys. But they weren't ashamed to make a lot of noise. They weren't ashamed to be heard. They weren't ashamed to demonstrate who they belonged to, who they were following. Come on. And neither should we be. We should never be ashamed. They weren't afraid if they offended anybody. And we shouldn't be ashamed of whether we offend anybody either. The gospel is offensive. First of all, it's offensive because it tells you that in your natural state, you're just not good enough to meet God's standard of holiness. Don't worry, it gets better, folks. That's why ultimately the gospel is good news. But it can sound like bad news. If you're trusting in your own righteousness, if you think you're good enough, if you think that all of your good works... I meet people all the time who tell me, I'm a good person, I don't do bad things, I'm good to everybody, I give to charity, I help people when I can. I'm not a bad person. There's no way God will refuse me entrance into heaven. I want to tell you, if that's what you're trusting in, you don't stand a chance of getting through that door. And that's why the gospel's offensive, because it tells you you're not good enough. In your natural state, you're just not good enough to have a relationship with God as your heavenly Father. If you think that you're a good person who's never done anyone any harm, and that therefore you should be accepted by God on your own merit, then the gospel is not good news for you. It's bad news. It might be true that there's some people who live a better life than others, but none of us are good enough to attain to God's standard. The Bible says there's none righteous, not one. Now, if that was all the gospel told us, then it would be bad news. But the good news is that Jesus lived a sinless life. The good news is that Jesus offered that life that he had lived on our behalf as a sacrifice for our sins that was forever acceptable to God. And that sacrifice met God's standard of righteousness and of justice. And then Jesus made his righteousness available to us. And that righteousness that he's given to us, to those who believe in him, to those who trust in what he did, not in what we can do, but who trust in what he did, he gives us that righteousness. He brings us into right standing with God. He brings us into a place where we're reconciled with God, into a place where we have a relationship that's restored. The relationship that sin broke is now being restored. We've been reconciled, and we can now stand in God's presence looking to him as our heavenly Father without a sense of fear, without a sense of guilt, without a sense of shame, without a sense of condemnation. That's the good news. That's the good news. Jesus came. He said, I am the way. I am the only way to the Father. You can try your way. In fact, in Proverbs, twice in Proverbs, it says there's a way that seems right to a man. It's like that wheel video we were showing. There's people who get on the motorway, head up the wrong way, up the wrong side, think that they're right. They're probably wondering, where's everybody else going? Why are they all looking at me like that? Why are they flashing their lights and tooting at me? Before it suddenly dawns on them, like, wait a minute, I'm going the wrong way. I'm going the wrong way. I tell you, the folks you meet with every day, you should be flashing your lights at them. You should be tooting at them. Come on. They're in a lot more danger than that person that's going up the motorway the wrong way. If we would only get a hold of that and recognize that, and we'd point them to Jesus, who is the only way to the Father. As I said, that can be offensive. In the Word of God, it tells us that it's an offense. The gospel is an offense to the Greeks, to those who trust in their own wisdom, to those who trust in their own intellectual understanding of things. Those who try and square things up with God, you know, they say, well, I've not done anything too bad, so, you know, God must be pleased with me. The Bible says that the gospel is offensive to these people. It's a stumbling block to the Jews, to those who trust in their own religiosity, to those who trust in their ability to keep the law. It's a stumbling block to people like that. Jesus is the only way to the Father. He came to show us the way to the Father. We can stand in his presence without a sense of fear, guilt, shame, or condemnation, but only if we have believed in the name of Jesus. In Acts 4:12, it says that his name, the name of Jesus, is the only name under heaven. See, the only name. It's the only name given among men whereby we must be saved. Jesus is the only way to the Father. Second thing I want us to see tonight is that Jesus reveals the truth about the Father. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one, say no one. That's very exclusive. No one comes to the Father except through me. The second thing Jesus does is he reveals the truth about the Father. Who knows, God gets a bad rap from a lot of people. He's falsely accused of many things of which he is not guilty. But it's not until you accept Jesus as the only way to the Father that you'll end that struggle to understand the truth that Jesus reveals about the Father. We were singing it tonight. He is good. He's always good. There's a lot of people out there tonight who don't believe that. Sadly, there's a lot of people who call themselves by his name who don't believe that. That God is always good, he's only good. And I want to tell you tonight, if you don't have that revelation, then you've failed to allow Jesus to reveal to you the truth about the Father. Maybe it's because you haven't come to him as the only way to the Father. Not to God. He didn't come to show you the way to God. He came to show you the way to the Father. Jesus said this. He said, anyone who's seen me has seen the Father. Who knows, it says in Acts 10:38 that Jesus only ever went about doing good. And the reason he did that was because God was with him, it says. He went about only doing good and healing and bringing healing to all who were oppressed, all of those who were under the oppression of the wicked one, under the oppression of the devil. Ali read already from Luke chapter 15, and in Luke chapter 15 we know that Jesus told that story about the two brothers. See, one brother thought that his father was trying to hold something back from him. So he took his inheritance and went his own way, went the wrong way, and he blew it. He blew everything that he had taken by doing life his own way. I want to tell you that if you're doing life your way, you're blowing everything that God's made available to you. It's all available. Jesus made it available to everyone at the cross. He made salvation available. He made healing available. He made deliverance available. He made prosperity available. He made it available to everybody at the cross. But if you're doing life your own way tonight, you're blowing everything that he made available to you. And it was only when that young boy realized his mistake that he discovered that his father only had good for him. Only had good plans for him. As soon as he returned back, he said it came into his heart that there was more than enough back at his father's house. He began to be in want. He began to recognize his deep need. He began to realize that he'd been doing things his own way. And by doing things his own way, he'd ended up in the wrong place. And he turned around and he made his way back home. And as he made his way back home, his father saw him. It says as he was still a great distance away, his father saw him and ran to him and fell on him and began to release to him the good plans that he had for him. He began to restore him and reconcile him back to his place in the family and began to pour into his life good things. Who knows, the older brother never got to see the truth about his father's heart towards him. You see, he had religiously served a completely wrong image of who his father really was. And so he missed out on everything that the father had provided for him. Everything that was available to him in the house. He missed out on it. Why? Because he'd religiously served instead of coming into that place of knowing his father. Jesus is the way to the Father, and he is the truth about the Father. Jesus said he's the only way to the Father, and he's the only truth about the Father. He came to show us the way to the Father, and he came to reveal the truth about the Father. The third thing is this: Jesus came to demonstrate the life of the Father. Who knows God wants to share his life with us. He wants us to share in his life. God breathed into man. It says in the Hebrew, it says God breathed into man and man became a life. Man became a life. He became the God kind of life. Who knows, when God breathes into you, when God brings you alive, you become alive with his life. That's why when before Jesus ascended back to the Father, he breathed on his disciples and he said to them, receive the Holy Spirit, receive the breath of God, receive the life of God. You see, when we receive Jesus as the way to the Father, when we receive the revelation that Jesus brings about the Father, we enter into the life of the Father. That life that Jesus came to give us, he says in John 10:10 that he's come that we might have and enjoy life in all of its fullness, that we might have abundant life, that we might have more than enough and excess of life. God always has more than enough. He brings us into a blessed life. He brings us into covenant life. And in that, as he brings that revelation of this life that he's brought us into, we discover that he is everything that we need him to be whenever we need him to be. That's what that young brother discovered when he came home, that his father was everything that he needed him to be. And more. We were looking at this a couple of weeks ago on Sunday night. We breathe in his presence and we breathe out his praise. That's what we're here to do. That's why he's given us his life, so that we can breathe in his presence and breathe out his praise. God breathes, I breathe. Because he lives, I live. The life that I now live, Paul said, it's not my life anymore, it's the life of Christ in me. Hallelujah. This is real life. This is life as God intended it. This is the God kind of life in you and in me. When we recognize that Jesus is the only way to the Father, he's the only truth about the Father, and he's the only demonstration of the life of the Father. He comes to bring us into that life. If you're missing that life, if you're not living a blessed life tonight, you're missing the life he came to give. If you're not living in the fullness of that covenant life tonight, you're missing the life. Maybe you're going the wrong way. Maybe you started out on the right way, but somewhere you turned back. Somewhere you took a wrong turning. It doesn't matter what's coming against you. It doesn't matter what's hitting off you. It doesn't matter what kind of stuff is working against your life. These things don't matter, because God is on my side. God is on your side. If God be for us, that's covenant talk. If God be for us, who can be against us? Absolutely nobody or nothing. Come on, that's covenant talk. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. That's covenant talk. I don't need to fuss or cuss or get anxious or worried or concerned or fretful or any of these things, because God is on my side. He's everything that I'll ever need him to be whenever I need him to be. We breathe in his presence and we breathe out his praise. Remember, Yahweh. Yahweh. That's the name that he gave us. God breathes, I breathe. He lives, I live. He revealed himself in so many ways. He's Yahweh, my righteousness. He's Yahweh, said Kenny. He's Yahweh, my righteousness. He's Yahweh, Rapha. He's Yahweh, my healer. I just breathe in his life and I'm healed. I don't have to fuss and try and find out 57 scriptures that prove it. And quote them. I bring forth a testimony. I breathe in his life and I breathe out his testimony. I walk down the road singing, my God is my healer. My God is a healer. Come on. My God is a healer. My God is a healer. Can't remember the next bit. That's enough. Yahweh, Jireh, he's the Lord my provider. He's the Lord who provided. He's Yahweh Shalom, he's the Lord my peace. He's Yahweh Shammah, the God, he's always there, the ever-present help in time of trouble. He doesn't desert ship when trouble comes. He doesn't walk away when trouble comes. He doesn't run the other direction when he sees trouble coming against you. He's my ever-present help in the time of trouble. God is on my side. God is for me. Who can be against me? Aren't you glad that Jesus is the only way to the Father? Because that way there's no room for confusion. I tell you, the easiest way to drive in Lewis was single track roads. I worked in the Caberfee when they put the first proper roundabout in Storley up at Manor up there. And we used to watch them out the window as they would come in from the country places and encounter this roundabout that it wasn't the Eric guy the last time I was here. I was in town 6 months ago. It wasn't there. I don't know where it came from. I was a Herox. I was a You heard about that Herox, didn't you? You came in Smith's shoe. You remember Smith's shoe shop? All those things going, you know. He went to Smith's shoe shop on his annual visit over to Stornoway for provisions, and he says, "Have you any boots?" Magnus will enjoy this one. He's got a lot of hair off jeans, Magnus. "Have you any boots?" The fella says, "Oh, yes, sir, yes, we do indeed. I'll take two." Hallelujah. That's how easy it is to please a hair off, see? Glory to God. Hallelujah. That's what we saw them. They didn't know how to deal with this roundabout. They were going round it the wrong way. A couple of them even went over the top of it. Some of them just stopped and looked at it like a calf at a new gate. You know what I'm saying? It's like, what's that? Thank God, Jesus is the only way. He's the only way to the Father. There's no room for confusion. There may be many religious ways to a religious God, but Jesus is the only way to the Father. Hallelujah. There's only one way. His name is, somebody help me, His name is Jesus. Do you know that the early church were called followers of the way? You find that in Acts 19, verse 9 and 23, and Acts 22, verse 4, and Acts 24, verses 14 and 22, if you can write all that down really fast and then go back and check it out. They were called followers of the way. Let me ask you a question tonight. Do you have a relationship with the Father, or have you lost your way? Are you living that blessed life? I'm not saying there's not things coming against you. I'm not saying there's not stuff that's bouncing off of your life and stuff that's parking outside your door and giving you all kinds of intimidation. But are you living in that blessed life? Are you living in that place of protection? Are you living in that place of God's provision? Are you living in that storm-proof house that Jesus said you could live in? Who knows, it was obvious to everyone which brother really knew the Father. They were the ones that got to go to his party. They were the ones who got to join in the celebration that he'd come home. Come on. I want to tell you, it still is obvious who knows the Father and who doesn't. There's a lot of people who know God, but Jesus didn't come to show you the way to God. He came to show you the way to the Father. He didn't come to reveal the truth about God. He came to reveal the truth about the Father. He didn't come to bring you into the life of the religious life of God. He came to introduce you to the life of the Father. He came to make it possible for you to have the Father's life in you. Are we living that fullness of life that Jesus came to give us? I said earlier, Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12, and chapter 16, verse 25, say there's a way that seems right to a man. There's a way that seems right to religious men. It's a way of suffering silently. It's a way of just taking everything that comes and calling it God, accepting it as God's will for your life. I want to tell you, Romans chapter 12 says that God's got a good, it starts good, it doesn't even start as mediocre, it starts good and then it goes acceptable and then it gets perfect. That's the will that he has for, that's God's will for your life. Anything less than that and you haven't, you're not experiencing the fullness of the life that Jesus came, the life of the Father. I said the gospel's offensive, it doesn't get any better until you start believing what Jesus says. A lot of people can get offended at this. The gospel is very, very offensive. And people get very, very defensive when you go on the offensive with this gospel. But we are not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, because it is the power of God unto salvation, healing, deliverance, prosperity for all those who believe. God always gives us a choice. That's His goodness. He won't coerce you. He won't force Himself on you. He won't place demands on you. Yes, He gives commands. But you can choose to disobey these commands. And He won't go to the next level and demand anything from you. God says, here's life and here's death. Here's blessing, here's cursing. He says, I counsel you, I admonish you, I urge you. I want you to understand my heart for you is that you choose life. I want you to experience this life. What's your answer tonight? What way are you on? What way have you taken? What course have you chosen for your life? Because Jesus declared very, very clearly and categorically I am the way, the only way to the Father. I am the truth, the only truth about the Father. I've come to demonstrate to you the life, the only life of the Father. It's a sinless life. It's a victorious life. It might not be storm-free, but it'll certainly be storm-proof. When the disciples were screaming because the boat was going down, Jesus was walking on the water. Another time he was asleep in the back of the boat. Why? Because he said before he went to sleep, we're going to the other side. When Jesus says we're going to the other side, we're not going down halfway. When Jesus says, when God says, I am the Lord who heals you, he's not saying some I do and some I don't. Did you hear what I said? I said, when God says, I am the Lord who heals you, he's not saying some I do and some I don't. But those who breathe in his presence, they breathe out his praise. They breathe in, I am the Lord who heals you. And you breathe out, he is the Lord who heals me. You breathe in, I am the Lord your righteousness. And you breathe out, he is the Lord my righteousness. In fact, it's more intimate than that. You first of all, you breathe out, you are the Lord my righteousness. And then your testimony becomes to everybody else, he is the Lord my righteousness. If you're not living in that tonight, you need to turn around. You need to do what the Bible says and repent. That means to turn around, to change the way that you think about everything. First of all, you need to change the way that you think about God, the way that you think about yourself in relationship to God. Because if you're not trusting in Jesus as the only way and the only truth and the only life that exists, then you need to change how you think. And changing how you think will change the direction of your life. And as you change the direction of your life, you will change your destination. Hallelujah. Because if you're going the wrong way, you're going to end up in the wrong place. Let's stand up together. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're not ashamed of this gospel. Yes, it may be offensive, but thank God to those who resist the opportunity to be offended. It is the power of God unto salvation, unto healing, and unto deliverance. I don't know what you need tonight. I don't know what need you came in here with tonight, but I want to tell you, if you need salvation, salvation has been made available to you. But it's only available through Jesus. No other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved but that name of Jesus. Breathe in that name, Jesus. Take that name, Jesus. Yahweh, said Kenyu, the Lord, my righteousness. Hallelujah. Maybe you need healing tonight. Maybe you came in here with a sick body. Maybe you've struggled against sickness for years. I want to tell you tonight, Jesus came to demonstrate the life of the Father, and it doesn't include sickness. The fullness of life, he came to demonstrate. Every sick person that he encountered that came to him in faith, he released them from the bondage of that sickness, from the curse of that sickness, because he came that they might have a blessed life. They would not have to live under any manifestations of the curse, sickness, of which sickness is one. He came and delivered those who were bound by the curse of poverty. He released them into the blessed life. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Maybe you have a financial need in your life. I want to tell you, he declares over your life, Yahweh, Jireh, I am the Lord who provides. Breathe him in. Breathe him in. Breathe him in. Breathe in his presence. Breathe in his life tonight. Yahweh, Jireh, Yahweh, Jireh, Yahweh, Jireh, the Lord. You are the Lord who provides for me. Breathe it out. Run through the streets of Stormy tonight shouting, he is the Lord who provides for me. Make an appointment with a bank manager on Monday morning and walk in there and say, he is the Lord who provides for me. Make an appointment with your consultant. Say, he's the Lord who heals me. Well, I can't say that. Are you ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ? Do you not know that Jesus is the only way? The only truth? The only life? See, all of a sudden you start standing on toes. All of a sudden you discover how offensive the gospel is. But hey, we've got to get beyond the offense to experience the power. Do you want the power of God, or do you just want another religious experience? Do you want to just show up in church on occasions and mark your card? There's no condemnation. I want to tell you tonight, if you're sick, there's no condemnation for you. God doesn't even know how to spell that word as far as you're concerned. All he has is invitation. Invitation. We're not here to condemn sick people. We're here to invite them to the life. We're here to invite them to the celebration party. For those who couldn't dance before, learn to dance. Hallelujah. That man at the temple gate, the instant he was healed, he went leaping and jumping and praising God. Hallelujah. Because that's what you've been, that's the life that he's given you. It's a life of celebration. It's a party life. Have you lost your song? Have you lost your dance? Have you lost your response to God? What air are you breathing? What polluted air have you been breathing? What lies about God have you been taking into your life? You need to start, because you just breathe in his life and everything else disappears. When Jesus showed up, the demons were trying to do deals. Come on. It wasn't the church, it wasn't Jesus trying to do deals with the devils, it was the devils trying to do deals with Jesus. They knew that their time was up, they knew they couldn't remain because the life of God had just showed up, but they tried to do little deals. Let's go into the pigs. Have you come to torment us before the time? This isn't fair. Anyway, hallelujah. What do you need tonight? I encourage you just to... We're going to continue in a time of praise tonight. And it says the Lord, the Word of God tells me the Lord inhabits the praises of his people. That means his presence is here in this room tonight. Why? Because his people are here praising him. He's here. And he's here to be everything that you need him to be. I encourage you as we praise him that you breathe in his presence and breathe out his praise. That you breathe in his presence, that you breathe out his praise. And maybe before you leave tonight, you'll want to come up and give a testimony to who he is in your life, to what he's done for your life, the change that he's brought. Because Jesus said, I am the only way. I am the only truth. I am the only life. The Father, in Jesus' name. You ready to praise him? Ready to praise him? Go on, let's come on. Come on. Ready to praise him? Hallelujah. Come on. Whoa. Jesus.